Who knows where I'd be without her? I'd be in flipping trouble. Today, my beautiful bride is going to share her time with us and talk about what it's been like to be married to a flipper. Welcome to the Flipping Genius Podcast. This is the show about buying and selling cars for a significant profit. I'm Randy Lee, the host of the Flipping Genius, and I've been flipping cars for a good portion of my life. The past 11 years, I've been a licensed used car dealer here in the great state of Alabama. I'm far from a mechanical expert, though. In fact, time and time again, I will show you that you can be successful in the car flipping business without the ability to turn a wrench or years of dealership experience. And along the way, I'll introduce you to friends and even some competitors of mine who will share some of their tips and advice as well. And as we grow our Flipping Genius network of flippers across the U.S. and around the globe, we'll actually give consistent listeners who have an interest the opportunity to put our systems, the systems that have proven successful for over the last decade, put those to work in your local markets. The number one goal of the Flipping Genius is to help our listeners make money. Car flipping can be an outstanding business or a lucrative side hustle. You decide. We'll help. So let's work together. Let's make some money. Let's all become flipping geniuses. Let's get to it, flippers. Hey, it's Randy Lee, the host of Flipping Genius, and today we have a very, very special guest. My beautiful bride, Terry Lee, has agreed to come on and tell her side of the flipping story. You know, everything that I do in business doesn't just affect me. It affects my family, and my family is first my wife, Terry. So she affects what I do not only actively but passively, because I know it represents her as well. And she's guided me and helped me guide myself ever since I first got involved professionally as a car flipper. So today she's agreed to come on the podcast and share her ideas and thoughts and remembrances. So without further ado, let's go to that talk. So Terry, what do you remember first about my getting involved in the car business?
Well, I remember that we were engaged at the time that you decided to go into the car business. And
how'd you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I appreciated, you know, your approach to me with it was a plan. You had a notebook and you had the plan written out, and you explained it all to me and how you anticipated to do it and what you expected to happen. So that was kind of comforting, mm-hmm. to know that.
What was my plan? Buy low, sell high?
Well, you had a lot more words on the page than that. You had a good sales presentation ready. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think that looking back, I was probably a little nervous about it. Mm-hmm. You know, we had been together for several years before we got engaged, and then we were engaged for a couple of years. So it's not like I had just met you and we just decided to get married. I kind of knew you and mm-hmm. knew about you and that kind of thing. So that helped too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I remember the early days. Yeah, you were really into the buy low thing. I remember some of the cars from the early days were like really... I think your original idea, and I think what you explained to me on the notebook page, was the Dave Ramsey concept of a car. I remember watching that Dave Ramsey video with you. Uh-huh. You wanted to present the $3,000 car or less, mm-hmm. to somebody who just needed a car for a few years until they could get a better car.
Oh, okay. That was pretty smart of me.
It was.
Well, I think that's still what I try to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously you can't sell a $3,000 car that you bought for $4,000.
That's right.
So you were saying, because I remember a couple of the first cars that I recall were cars that I bought from a new car dealer. They were trade-ins up in the Nashville area, and I bought them through eBay. Do you remember those?
I do remember that.
One was a Pontiac Grand Prix. And I can't remember the other, but I remember that we did pretty well with those.
Yeah, I remember because I drove up with you to get the car.
They actually drove back.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's, you know, that's not always the case, and I don't go that far away. Nashville is, for those of you who don't know, we live outside of Huntsville, Alabama, and Nashville is about an hour and 20-minute drive up the road. Yeah. So that's a pretty good test drive. But those were pretty decent cars because I thought you were indicating that I bought some really cheap stuff.
Well, you did. It was after that kind of fizzled out. For some reason, we stopped getting those great cars from the dealership. But, after that, you kind of had to scrap for what you could find. Mm-hmm. And you were just learning, the best I remember, just going to the auction, which was a brand new experience for you. You'd never been to an auction.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't understand what they were saying. You didn't know what was going on. And so you were just kind of doing the best you could when you were learning, you know.
And this was about 11 or 12 years ago?
About 11 years ago, I think.
And that's what I've told the listeners of the podcast. You know, this, I had no previous car experience other than what I did personally, and that's what last week's episode I talked about where I came from, which I'd always bought and sold cars, and I always bought cheap cars, especially when I was a kid. So with that, from that standpoint, I had flipped cars, but I never had a formal, I never worked for a car dealer ever, and so when I went to the car auction the first time, it was the first time, and I've talked about that. Now you've gone to the car auction with me before.
I have a couple of times.
And what was your experience there?
It was it's a little bit overwhelming. It's a lot of activity, a lot of people, a lot of things happening at one time. Before the auction, like before you go into the auction area, you know, there's just like people milling around and visiting with each other and drinking coffee and eating donuts. But once you go into that auction area, it's very loud. I think when I went with you, it was in the winter, so it was cold too. And I remember before we got there early, and we walked around the auction yard, and you were checking out these cars that were going to be going through the auction that day. It was an interesting experience. And then, of course, once the auction started, things moved really fast. You know, I remember that. And I didn't know what was going on, and you told me to keep my hands in my pocket. It was an experience.
Yep, that's how I always say, keep your hands in your pockets.
Yep.
And don't be waving to anybody.
That's right.
But got to take a quick break. When I come back, Terry and I are going to tell you about my personal car that I bought for $350. It's a gem. Hey, flippers. I've got to tell you about my favorite fine dining restaurant, probably anywhere, but certainly in the Huntsville, Alabama area. Treat yourselves to a night at Nick's Ristorante. Nick's offers the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and Northern Italian cuisine just like the old country. Seriously, this place is unlike any other. The atmosphere, the service, the desserts are all beyond compare. You will thank me. It is a wonderful place to spend an evening. Nick's Ristorante is now open with open seating Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Friday and Saturday, Nick's has two seatings, 5 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. for the foreseeable future. Due to the limitations of COVID-19, seating is limited to 50% capacity, so be sure to go to nicksrestaurante.com or call 256-489-8280 to arrange a reservation. Rest assured, the staff at Nick's takes all precautions while sanitizing even more than ever and maintains a consistent health score of 98% or above. Nick's Restaurante is a member of the iTex trading community. Your iTex dollars are welcome. It is. And I one of my stories that I tell over and over again about the auction is about my personal car. The car I drive, and I may have mentioned it before, is I drive a 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara, and it has 342,000 miles on it. You weren't there the day I bought it, but it was I think two lanes away from it. It was rolling through, and whereas back then I couldn't understand anything.
Right.
Now I can understand what the guy's saying two lanes away.
Yeah.
And I heard him saying 300, 300, 300, which means it was going to sell for $300 mm-hmm. to my buddy James, who at the time was buying all the $300 cars. Mm-hmm. And all I could see was a pretty shiny little small SUV with pretty wheels on it.
Mm-hmm.
I ran over there as fast as I could and waved my hand up, and they said, Badger, which is what they call me.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, 350, because I did my little half mark, because I didn't want to go all the way to 400.
Mm-hmm.
James remembered that I had given him a stick of gum to begin the auction out, so he let me buy one for 350. And I got it for 350, and I tried it out to look inside, because I really didn't know what I was buying, because mm-hmm. All I was doing is trying to buy a car that was running,
yep.
apparently had air in the tires, mm-hmm. and was not smoking for $350. That was good.
Yeah.
I peeked inside the window and saw it had 300,000 miles on the odometer, and that's when I realized I had just bought myself a new car. Because who's going to buy a Suzuki with 300,000 miles? But that car is such a champ.
How long have you been driving that car?
I think about maybe 4 years?
I think so. And that is just like, we get in the car and drive and don't think a thing about it.
In fact, we've got two others.
Yeah.
We have three Suzuki Grand Vitaras, which I joke that we're trying to corner the market. But they're such good cars, and it's all because we love that one so much. But that's this is a fascinating conversation we're having here. But it's interesting. So we got started. I was buying some and I have bought a lot of really cheap stuff. My average price has been probably around $700,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, when you're buying $1,100 and $1,200 cars, you got to buy a bunch of 350s too, mm-hmm. to get that average down.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, not while we were being recorded. And something else that you mentioned to me about your recollection early on was something about, let's see, how do I put this? Ethics.
Yes. Yeah, we had many discussions early in the business about that. Because even though I'm not active in the car business, I felt like I was married to you at this point, and I should have some say.
Sure, well, it represents us, and
right, it does.
We don't live in a bubble. I mean, my car lot is a half mile from my house, and it was back then too.
Yeah,
we had a different house,
right?
But the car lot was a half mile away.
Yeah, so you know, there's a lot of things to consider, and we had many, many discussions about it, and you know, we finally agreed to some ground rules that I could live with in the business.
You spell those out.
One of them was that the cars that you purchased from the auction were going to get checked out by a mechanic that we trust,
mm-hmm.
and get a report on it.
Right.
So that even if you decide, and of course you make the decisions about what gets fixed on a car, because mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you can't fix everything,
right?
Because it's just too expensive. So at least we would know when you're selling the car what we can tell the buyer.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we know about the car,
mm-hmm.
and then they're buying with all the knowledge that we have about it.
Exactly. And that's that mechanic has changed over the years. I mean, when we first started, we were actually going, I was going to a Goodyear guy, mm-hmm. that was just around the corner from me, some people that I liked,
mm-hmm.
and it was very retail. I don't know if there's more retail but I think that was a very retail operation, because it was a company operation, and when the book said it costs $380. It cost $380. There was really no play in that. So that was part of the thing that was difficult, because it was very expensive to get repairs done. And then later on, I had another friend of mine who was my mechanic for quite a while, until his business really outgrew me. And then most recently, a lot of folks have heard me talk about Dennis Johnson, and the guys down at Dennis, and they've met Gary a couple weeks ago, who's Gary's really Dennis's right hand man these days, and of course Jeremy, who was on episode 17 and was a lot of fun talking about all his flipping doings, and he has worked with Dennis in the past. He's currently not working with Dennis again because he's got, well, he got found more money. Money is a lure, but so gradually I've worked with those guys, and you're exactly right. And I know I've talked about that on the show, the importance of full disclosure of what we know. And that's one of the reasons why Dennis likes to work with me. It's one of the reasons why, you know, Gary and I get along so well, because he helps me so much by telling exactly that, what needs to be fixed, what he would fix if it was his car, and what I need to communicate to the buyer that we're not fixing.
Right.
You know, because that's a key. And yeah, I think you've been very helpful to me. I don't know that I would be a rogue, horrible bastard if if I wasn't married to you. But certainly, I feel like I represent us.
Right.
As much as I represent me and my company. So that's another element. When we come back, I'm going to ask Terry if she's been scared by the flipping business. But right now, here's a break from my friends at iTex. And we're going to talk about them later, too. Hey, if you're in business for yourself and need something that is going to cost, say, $1,000, what would you rather do? Pay cash or trade $1,000 of your services? If you're like me, you'd rather trade in order to save the cash, but you probably don't have a ready network of other businesses to trade with that you can trust, so it's hard to trade for what you need when you need it, and that's why I belong to iTex. They are the largest trade exchange in the United States. iTex has a network of member companies that sell to and buy from each other using iTex dollars instead of cash. You sell what you want, when you want, at the price you designate. They promote your business to their members. That's right, they sell for you. As you make new sales, you earn iTex dollars. You can use those iTex dollars with other businesses in the network, whenever and with whomever you choose. For more information about iTex and to get involved, contact my friend Gene Townley at 251-980-1023, or look for a link to Gene's website at flippinggenius.com, or email me at flippingquestions@gmail.com, and I'll introduce you personally. My business has been a member of iTex for many years. They have helped me earn a significant amount of income. Now, what about, has there been times when you've been afraid?
Not really. But I think that's, again, because you manage your finances so well. And you keep spreadsheets. I mean, you know, we set goals every year, and at the beginning of the year, you tell me, well, this is what I made last year, and this is what my goal is for this year. And I can't say that I've ever been afraid about the business. Now, there was a time when you were sick for a period, and you were, like, not able to work for about 6 months. And so there was a lot of, you know, uneasiness about what our future might be, because we didn't know at that time.
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
Yeah, it was a crazy time, but you did recover. We got, you know, you got straightened out on your health, and you've been going gangbusters ever since, and the business is good, and yeah, so that was the only brief time that I can think of that I was concerned.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned there is my spreadsheets, and I'm just gonna go ahead and mention that, you know, at the end of last week's episode, and maybe somebody didn't, they might not have stuck all the way through, because I have a couple of advertisements they got to stick through so they can hear this, but that was one of the bonuses I offered last week. you know, we both listened to Pat Flynn a lot. And mm-hmm. Pat, what did he say the other day? Teach everything you know.
Teach everything you know.
And I, that is such a lesson to me, because I had just done a video, little coaching up video, and I talked about, I flashed my clipboard at the screen and said, I'm not going to give you everything. Mm-hmm. But I thought later, why shouldn't I give him everything? Mm-hmm. So if you email me, you, not you, Terry, but the people who are listening.
Yeah.
If you'll email me the word badger, as in Wisconsin badgers, that's the code word this month. Send the word badger to me, and preferably send me your name and a little bit about you so I know about you. But if you want to be secret, just send me the word badger on your email, and I will send you back not only my vehicle analysis sheet, but I'll also send you the tracking sheets that I use for goal tracking that Terry just mentioned. That has been really the key to my managing my successful businesses, as successful as they've been. And it gives me a roadmap. And the illness that Terry talked about was one that affected my memory. And I found it even more important to have a very accurate tool to measure where I've been and where I'm going. And so I'm very diligent about that. And so if you send me an email to flippingquestions@gmail.com, flippingquestions@gmail.com, include the code word badger. And I don't care if you're a golden gopher, you still got to write badger on there. I will send you those two really, really valuable tools, and hopefully you'll have the same benefit from it. Now, well, Terry works in the corporate world. I'm very thankful for her, the stability that she brings our household, mm-hmm. And she is not from an entrepreneurial background. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome that you don't, you haven't been fearful. I have been. There are times when I've been. There's been times when I've had too many cars. Mm-hmm. There's been times when I haven't had enough cars. There's been times when I've been upside down on deals and was wondering if I was going to get out from under them.
Yeah.
But all in all, it has been pretty smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this, and I guess part of the comfort you had was prior to this, I was involved actively in the real estate business. And actually, we had some experience since then, too, that mm-hmm. we've done some real estate dealings. Yeah. And the thing about the car business is that, especially in the price range that I work in, worst case scenario, when you only spend $700 on a car, is you lose $700. Unless, of course, you put $2,100 in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you lose $2,800.
Well, that's a good point, because that's another thing that has made me feel comfortable and not stressed about your business,
mm-hmm.
is that you're not putting in money that you don't have. You're not going mm-hmm. in the hole
mm-hmm.
On deals.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were someone who managed things like that, it would affect our happy home more.
I think
quite
so,
quite honestly,
too.
Because
yeah.
you know, you know, if you're pouring money into something and you've got a lot of money out there and then things aren't moving, it's very, very stressful.
Well, in an episode 20, I believe, when we met with Danny, and I'm not going to remember Danny's last name right now, but I'll blame that on the memory thing. Danny talked to us about floor planning.
Yeah.
And this past week, I was planning on having a friend of mine that's the manager of the big car auction here in town, and just in our brief discussion setting up that appointment, we talked a little bit about how I'm a small timer and I appreciate him giving me the time, and one of the first things that came to his mind is floor planning,
mm-hmm.
and the value in avoiding it.
Yeah,
you know, and certainly there's some people that do wonderful job managing it,
mm-hmm.
but there's more money to manage and there's more risk there.
Right.
And that's something I just don't like debt You know, you said that we started the whole business wrapped around what's his name? The guy,
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey's philosophies of no debt.
Right.
And one of the things that I've tried to encourage people is to buy our cars with cash. Don't get a loan. When they need to, I've tried to find them a good resource for a loan so they're not paying, you know, 30% interest.
Right.
But if that's your principle, then how are you going to, you know, borrow $100,000 to fill up your lot and work from that? So I, as much as I appreciated Danny coming on and telling us his model and giving our audience the alternative,
right?
I don't think that's something I would ever feel comfortable doing is borrowing money.
That's true. So for some people it works, and I mean we drive by those lots.
Oh yeah,
we know that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. And you know, there are some people who are always gonna feel more comfortable to drive up on a lot and look around and have a choice,
right?
Have a selection.
Exactly.
So there's a place for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's room for everybody. But
I talked to a man yesterday at a lot, and that was he had I think about 18 cars there, and I said, well, you've got a nice selection. And he said, no, we don't, we need more, because people want
they want
a choice.
To shop around.
And I, you know, looking at my wide selection at this point I have two vehicles there, which is good because everything else is sold, but their choice is those two. And when they say, I would really like, you know, fill in the blank, I'd say, I'll let you know if I ever get one.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I don't tote that down and take custom orders. That's not just not what I do. One last break, and then when we come back, Terry's going to tell you how flipping has changed our life.
Right.
Well, I'm happy to hear. This was kind of a shot in the dark. I didn't really know what Terry was going to say to us today. I'm delighted that for the most part you haven't really been afraid of what we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we've got some grand plans which include the Flipping Genius podcast and some things we're trying to bring to our listeners. Is there anything else that you want to tell everybody, that anything else that I'm leaving out that's important to the...
Oh, I wish I could think of something brilliant, but...
You should let them know that you are drop-dead gorgeous.
Oh, you just told them.
I didn't think you were going to.
Yeah.
Now, Bagheera, this is Bagheera the cat. I think he wants to get involved. I think he's about ready to stand right on top of the microphone.
He wants to be a podcaster.
Well, honey, that's really what I'd hope to talk about, I think. And if you've got questions for my beautiful bride or for me, send them to flippingquestions@gmail.com. And like I said, send the code name Badger on there, and I'm going to give you, I think these things are worth $300 at least, maybe $500, who knows, I don't sell them. So in fact, it says right on there, if you use them without my permission, you'll be... I don't know, I can't remember what it disemboweled or something. It actually does say that at the bottom. I know people have looked over my shoulder at it when I pointed it out. Also, I want to remind everybody, we've got Flippin' Genius groups. Yeah, I forgot last week. We have one in Phoenix, Arizona. I forgot Phoenix, Arizona. Sorry about to everybody in Phoenix. We're also in Austin, Texas, Indianapolis, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Louisville, Kentucky, Nashville, Tennessee, of course, Huntsville, Alabama. We have almost 40,000 members here. We have a group in Atlanta, Georgia, Pensacola, Florida, and Orlando, Florida, and I believe in Omaha, Nebraska. I almost forgot you guys, you Huskers. And we are growing. We expect to be soon in Wisconsin, possibly Minnesota, California, and I believe Colorado are on our agenda coming up. And if there is a place that you would like us to open a Flipping Genius used car Facebook group, if you're in an area we are not covered, let us know. Send it to flippingquestions@gmail.com, and we will get on that. And if you've got suggestions, comments, please send them to us too. And really appreciate you listening. Please subscribe, tell your friends, come back next week. If you're not already there yet, go to flippinggenius.com with one G in the middle. I couldn't afford both G's. And you'll find all of our episodes there, and also links to the Flipping Genius YouTube channel, and our Facebook groups are also on there. And you'll also have an opportunity. That's what we forgot to talk about, is that you'll be able to link to iTex, and my buddy there, Gene, will hook you up and help you find business and the greatest restaurant possibly in North America, certainly in North Alabama, is Nick's Ristorante, and you'll have links to that. And if you're a member of the Huntsville group, get with me when you sell a car, because Nick wants to reward you. He's awesome, man.
And your wife will thank you. It's a lovely, beautiful, fancy restaurant.
It is beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And the wonderful food and wonderful treatment. Mm-hmm. And they're working through this COVID thing. They can't fit as many people in there, but man, what a cool place. And I've been telling everybody iTex is awesome, and they helped me with my business. And considering what we're doing tomorrow, that's a pretty good thing. Can you give me a 1 minute description of what barter and iTex has meant to us?
Wow, just 1 minute, huh? Well, I love barter. Barter is like a game changer for our life. We get to travel, stay at really nice places, eat at really nice restaurants, all kinds of fun things that we've done on barter.
Mm-hmm. And 31 Day Christmas.
That's right. You can't forget that. But yeah, I can't say enough good things about barter. It is a way for, when money is always tight, I think, when you have a small business, mm-hmm. cash is, you have to watch your cash.
Cash is king.
And barter is a way to live luxuriously.
If cash is king, barter is queen.
I'm telling you, I feel like a queen because of barter. And it's because my husband, manages all that money well, too. And we get to do a lot of fun things, and I get a lot of neat presents. It sounds almost unbelievable, but I get pearls, shoes, purses. Anything you can imagine, I've just been gifted through barter with it. So, not to mention the trips and all that wonderful stuff. So, yeah, I probably took more than a minute there.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so, when you hear me talking about my friend Gene Townley and iTex and thanking him for being a sponsor of the Flipping Genius, there's more to it than that. It really, really, really is something that affects our life positively, and I want to share it with you, just like I want to share the good stuff and the real stuff. And there is no more real stuff than listening to Terry Lee talk about the Flipping Genius and our business. Thanks so much, baby.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure. Yeah.
All right, man. We'll see you next time. Hey, until then, let's work together. Let's make some money. Let's all become Flipping geniuses.